Well, good morning. Good morning and welcome to Lancaster Baptist Church. If I remember well, this is our fourth service on Zoom. It's lovely to see everybody on this Advent Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, where we're thinking about peace and how much we need peace. We've been looking at hope, we've been looking at love last week, and now peace. A time that we live through, how much we need those attributes to hear those promises of God that comes through hope, that comes through love, that come now through peace this morning, and of course next week through joy. And after that is Christmas Day, the big bang celebration indeed. So let me start the service this morning with a few verses from Scripture. And I'd like to read to you some verses from Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever and ever. Let his people give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. For he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. Let his people give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and faithfulness. Let them give thanks, for his peace is everlasting. This is the reason we gathered together this morning in our own homes as a body of Christ, united by his Holy Spirit, to bring thanksgiving to him for his unfailing love, for his everlasting peace, for his incredible faithfulness to us all. And so as we start the service, let me pray, and then we will continue to watch that first candle, that third candle, the candle of peace this morning. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for the privilege, yet in a very strange way, to be in your presence, yet in our own homes separately, rather than together under one roof. But we know that you are with us. Your Holy Spirit walks with us. Your Holy Spirit lives within us. Your Holy Spirit is present here right now. We pray that as we engage with you in worship, as we bring our hearts in alignment to your will, your Holy Spirit will continue to touch our lives, to encourage us on our walk with you, and to challenge what is not so pleasant before you in our lives. We pray that whatever we do today, you will bring glory to your name. We pray for this incredible candle that we remember and we celebrate this morning, that of peace, remembering that you are the Prince of Peace. We pray for that to flood our hearts this morning, that through your Holy Spirit we will know deeply your love, you will be filled with your hope, and we know indeed your peace that passes beyond understanding. In everything we do, Lord, we want to praise your name this morning. Amen. And so we have this candle, we're watching this video as the third candle. We look at hope, love, and now peace. wonderful video put there together by Phil Jump. It's almost like a prayer of committing ourselves to God for the specific time that we live through just now. We will now hand it over to Daniel, Renee and the Harper family for introducing us to this new team of greatness, to the Prince of Peace, to the one who brings stability and who brings hope and love and joy into our hearts. How great thou art. Let's listen and join them in our hearts as they bring glory to God.
Oh,
Wonderful. That's so, so good. Thank you very much again. And how fitted our song is this morning to bring our praise to God's greatness, to His majesty, to His power, to His beauty, to all that He has made around us, even at this time in the winter. And so we come to a couple of readings this morning that will take us to this theme of peace and how to get God's peace, how to live within God's peace in difficult circumstances. So we have two readings from the Old Testament and we have a reading from the New Testament. And Ruth and Clive are going to do that for us. Thank you.
The first reading is taken from Psalm 91, reading verses 1 to 4 and then verses 14 to 16. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
The second reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." This suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So now we, you know, we put so far those elements of our worship together, our praise, His beauty, His majesty, together with His promises that we hear from His word, from the story of the Old Testament to the one in the New Testament, where the proclamation of peace is brought from the angel to Mary, to us indeed as a humanity, as Christians, brothers and sisters. And so wrapped that in that comes our duty, our privilege, and in a sense our responsibility to pray into this world, to intercede for it with its own joys, with its own sorrows, with its own pains and difficulties. And so we offer to God our prayers of intercessions this morning, and Chris is going to lead us into those prayers. Thank you, Chris.
How good is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as great as His power and knows neither measure nor end. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your faithfulness to us over this time of pandemic. Particularly, we're thankful for the discovery of a number of vaccines, for the staff to be involved in administering this. Your compassion and courage has been shown by many. Frontline workers, the NHS, care staff, shop workers, bus drivers, teachers, nursery nurses, we could go on, including many, many volunteers. We pray about the concerns over Brexit, the need to import and export goods for our island. Please give wisdom to all politicians involved, Lord. Thank you for the technology and how integral it's been in bringing us together. But thank you, Lord, for meeting our ultimate need in sending Jesus as Saviour. We rejoice once again this Christmas in remembering the tiny baby born to die for us. In Isaiah, the Old Testament, he's called the Prince of Peace, who was to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He came to save us. And this day, we ask forgiveness for our sins of this week and how this same Jesus forgives us today. May many this Christmas come to know the one who can bring peace in their lives and situations. Perhaps they've lost loved ones, struggle with mental illness, are worried about losing their jobs. Children, students, worried about their studies. Some may have family issues, some even suffering abuse, or struggle to make ends meet. Lord, you know them all. You see everyone. We claim for them your words. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled. And Lord, may we be available to help those in need. We praise you that one day you will return in glory. Wars and all trouble will cease. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ, equip us with everything good to do his will. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Chris. It's how much we need to intercede for ourselves, for our fellowship, for our families, yes, for the world in which we live, as Chris mentioned. You know, there are glimmers of hope in the vaccine. There are stories of love that we hear from NHS or neighbors or people helping one another. And of course, we need to continue to pray for the peace that will come indeed as we might see the end of this pandemic coming to an end in the next few weeks, months, hopefully by Easter, as it is forecast there. And so we will come to our next song, the first Noel, Christmas, a carol, singing Noel, of course, from the Latin, who means to be born. Remind us the story that he came as the everlasting father, as the Prince of Peace, indeed, as the counselor, mighty counselor, for that matter. And so the Harper family, again, they're going to lead us into singing this wonderful song, the first Noel. Thank you. wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Let me introduce you to our new choir. Did you hear the melody, the harmony in there, singing with different voices and different notes? Beautiful. And I'm sure if it had been all unmuted, would have heard even a bigger choir and me belching away in the background. So it's lovely to hear that. It's lovely to be able to continue to worship God in these very challenging times, yet in our own homes and with our own families. You know, listen, there are a lot of disadvantages of doing the services like this, but there are also some advantages, as I mentioned some of them in the weeks prior to this. Where do you get to sit on your sofa at home with a box of chocolate by you and a cup of tea and a coffee, listening to a sermon and so on? So it very rarely happens. So here we go. You can be there at home with your cup of tea on your right-hand side, with a box of chocolate on the left, and listening to Emilian going on and on and on about peace. Now, I'd like to talk to you a little bit, just for 10 minutes or so, about this great aspect of peace. He comes as the Prince of Peace. And we all know that we struggle with this very much, because in the midst of the pandemic, in the midst of the challenging times that we live, we don't seem to have the promise of peace. Do we really, if we are honest with ourselves? As even as Christians, you know, we see still wars waging and a lot of bad things happening to people and so on. And we're thinking, where's that peace promise? Where's that? And if you remember, I said to you that throughout the whole year, I wanted to focus on God's promises. And to me personally, one of the greatest promises, probably the biggest, is the promise of today, the promise of peace, because it's the most difficult to understand, it's the most difficult to get to grips with, because we've been praying for peace, we've been praying for calm, we've been praying for wars to cease for years and years and years, for decades. Christians before us have been praying that that will stop, and yet it hasn't. And you come to passages like Psalm 91, where it says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High," you and me and our families and our people and those who believe in Christ, he says, "will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and He is my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Refuge, fortress, those are metaphors of protection. They are metaphors of being almost cocooned, being loved by God, and saying more or less that nothing will ever touch you, because you're trusting God, nothing will ever touch you. And then he goes on and he says, "Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge." I love that metaphor, under his wing, from refuge and fortress. The psalmist says that God is like a mother hen who covers us under his wings. And I wish I could use a picture, but when I asked the Australian newspaper to give me permission to use it, was a picture of a bird in Australia in the fires a few months ago, if you remember the fires that they had in Australia, who was covering her chicks during that massive fire that happened. And they showed this hen being completely burned, and underneath she had those chicks who were still barely alive, but still alive there. So the fire burned her, burned the mother hen, but not the chicks underneath. And this is the metaphor, this is the image here that the psalmist uses, that as you trust in God, nothing will touch you. And we could say amen to that, because this is what really is all about. As Christians, we should have no problems, no troubles, because as we trust in God, no problems will touch us. Huh. But that's how the devil would like us to interpret the scripture. Do you know what? Do you know that even the devil has quoted some scriptures, some verses from the psalm? If you were to open with me at Luke chapter 4, if you remember the temptation of Jesus, there the devil takes Jesus onto that desert. If you remember, he was led by the Spirit to the desert, but then the devil appears to him to tempt Jesus. And one of the temptations that the devil puts to Jesus and comes to Jesus to is this one. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, and listen to what the devil says now to Jesus. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Do you know where that verse is? That verse is in Psalm 91 in verse 12. He quotes, the devil quotes Psalm 91 verse 12 to Jesus. He knew that. The devil would like us to believe that we as Christians, as long as we trust in God, nothing bad will ever touch us. Nothing bad will ever happen to us. Nothing will ever destroy us. Now, remember the story of Joseph. Joseph, he was a young man and he had this grandeur visions of he is going to be an incredible young man and he's going to save the world from all sorts of things. And he is the favorite son of Jacob and he's going to have a great future. So much so that his brothers began to really hate him. But then, you know what happened? He went into slavery. He was sold to Potiphar. Then he went into prison. And then, of course, finally, he became the prince of Egypt. And God used him as a prince of Egypt to save his people. Now, there is in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, when Joseph meets with his brothers, he says this to them, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done." In other words, I was a bit of a selfish rat when I was a young man. And I thought that part of my life and loving God, suffering is not going to touch me. But suffering did touch him. And he went through and he became where God wanted him to be in order to fulfill his purposes. Why do I say that? Because I want to quote another verse to you. And that's in Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28, we know it very well. We quote it, I have it written at the front of my Bible. It's been given to my baptism when I was baptized 35 years ago. It says like this, "And we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him." The key word here is that in all things, God works for good in all things, including suffering, including pain, including cancer, including COVID. God works in all things for the good of those who love him. We need to take everything, life including, into that aspect, suffering including, of God's love for us. Because let me tell you why this promise is so important. If we believe in a God who we think promises a walk in the park that will never be touched by famine, by fire, by anything in the world, by cancer and so on, then we'll be disappointed, because in this life, in this human life, those things will come to us. And if we base our faith, as the devil would like us to, into a God that says you will not break your foot on the stones, then we're going to be in trouble. There is another verse that I want to share with you, and that is in Luke 21. And Jesus describes to the disciples what God is like, and then about some prophecies about the coming of his second coming and so on. And in the midst of that, then Jesus throws this at the disciples and he says this to them, "You'll be betrayed," talking about the last days, "you'll be betrayed even by parents, brothers, sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me." And look what he says now, "but no hair of your head will perish." I am dying, but my hair is still intact. How can that be? Now, my hair is gone a long time ago, and I'm still alive. But it says, you will be dead, but your hair will be intact. In other words, it doesn't matter when you go through life. What is more important is that your soul, because at the end of that passage, it says, you will gain your soul. Your soul will stay intact. our promise for God, and it's one of the biggest promises, and that's why I think it's the book is the biggest of peace, is that it's not only for this life, but it is for the life to come. It is for what God has prepared for us already into his kingdom. To have that peace is that God has become for us what that hen is on the cross. He became the substitute. He sheltered us under his wings with his eternal covenant, with his eternal life. Look what he says in verses 15 and 16 that Ruth read for us in Psalm 91. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. God says, I will be with him, but he mentions the word trouble. We will have trouble, but God is with us. I will deliver him and honor him from trouble, that is. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my what? My salvation. Our trust in God is not just for this life now, as much as we like to, but we still have cancer, we still have COVID, we still have famine, we still have wars and fire and so on. But our peace that is beyond understanding is knowing that God in the cross of Jesus, through his son Jesus Christ, has covered us in a new covenant of love that takes us beyond what it is now, through what it is to come, to eternal life and his eternal presence and glory with him. This is why I like to understand you that we can have peace in times of trouble, because although we are put to death, our hair, our souls are in time with God. And the challenge comes like this for this morning is that, is there anything else in our lives that we love more than God? Because when we love something else more than God, then of course we will suffer for that thing when we lose him. Not that we love him less, but we love more God than we love, I guess, our children, our health, our finance, our future, and whatever it is. So the challenge is this, the peace will come into our lives as long as we learn to understand that suffering is part of what we're going through, is part of being a Christian, but we know the promise of God is that he will be with us in trouble. He will never leave us or forsake us, but it is still in trouble. It's still to the value of the shadow of death, as we spoke before. And so this is the talk for today, and I pray that the Lord will bless you and will fill your heart and your mind with his peace, with his love, with his hope, and as we'll hear next week, indeed, with his joy. Let me just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for helping us understand the meaning of deep peace, a peace that is beyond understanding, beyond comprehension. We pray this morning that our peace will flood our hearts, not because we will have no more troubles, but because you are with us in trouble, because you protect us even in the midst of that. Praying for those who are suffering because of their financial worries, of their health, of their future. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to continue to work in those lives. I pray that you will bring your peace in our homes and in our lives, in our church, in our city, in our world, and of course, in every area of and corner of our hearts. We ask that your love and your peace, your joy, your hope will be the pillars on which we build our lives, our devotion to you, our walk with you, that we will trust every single promise that you have for us, knowing that you are with us. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here who are listening, whether live or later on Zoom or on YouTube, that you'll fill their hearts with your peace, that they will trust in you at this time and always, and that they will love you more than anything else in this world. And as they do so, peace will flood their hearts. We thank you for that promise that you are with us and you will be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you, we bless you, and we worship you as the Prince of Peace, as the Counselor, the Mighty Counselor and the Everlasting Father. Thank you for eternal life you've given us in Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen. And so on this note of peace, we will go to one of sweetness, which comes in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above all other names. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds. And again, the Harper family are going to lead us. Couldn't find the mouse, so I can unmute myself. Some of you will say amen. That's okay, no problem. I can stay unmuted. I'd like to give you a blessing, but before I give you the blessing, can I just say thank you again for joining us? I hope it's been a blessing to you as much as it can be during these times and during this kind of method that we meet through. But also, you're invited to stay over to join us for a, of course, virtual cuppa of tea, coffee, and that box of chocolates. You're more than welcome to share it with me virtually, of course, as you may and as you wish. So may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. God bless you, and I look forward to a chat with you. Thank you.